And I'm going to be reading in the book of Acts chapter 17. I'm going to just read verse number 6 in the book of Acts chapter 17. Book of Acts chapter 17, verse number 6. It says in the book of Acts, chapter number 17, verse number 6 says, "For and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, and crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.'" If you would just pray me, Lord, I thank you for bringing us here, Lord. Ask you to put your anointing. Only God, for without your anointing, I am nothing, Lord. Give me the mind of Christ, Lord, that I would preach everything that you have for me, that I can be this vessel for your anointing to pour out of, Lord, for your word to pour out of, Lord. Not to be me speaking, but you speaking through me, God. Move, my God, pour revival out on us as you did in the first church in the book of Acts. Do it again today, Lord. We give you the praise, the glory, and honor for everything that you've done. We ask altars, Lord. Have your will and your way in these altars. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight just on this simple thought. And where are those who turn the world upside down? It says in this verse I just read to you, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Well, I'm going to tell you, I want to be that church that turns the world upside down. The Lord dealt with me about this message one day. I was driving on the road. I was listening to a preacher, Brother Greg Atkins, preach, and he read this verse, and the Lord started stirring it over and over in my heart. I've been testifying about it everywhere that I go, because I want to be that church that turns the world upside down. The last few days I've been listening on my phone. I got the app on my phone that I can listen to the Bible while I'm working. I have no earphones in my ear. I listened to the whole book of Acts. I'm stirred about this book of Acts. I'm stirred about revival, about what this early church done. We want to see revival. We're going to have to go back to our roots. We're going to have to go back to what they was. We ain't going to see revival any less than what they had to do to see revival. I got some things in my notes. It's going to take me a minute to get through this. I'm not going to go through the whole book of Acts, because it'll take me forever to get through the whole book of Acts. But in the book, in chapter 1, what they got is the promise of the Holy Ghost. And they started seeking. I want to tell you, they started seeking for the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, it said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." That's where it all started, right there. That's what we're in right now started. I want to tell you, and it does not finish yet. We can't see revival as they did. Yes. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, "Then they will then gladly received his word and were baptized. The same day were added unto them 3,000 souls." Acts chapter 2, verse 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as we should be saved." In chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Howbeit of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. In chapter 5, it said, "And believers were of the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." In chapter 8 says, "And the Lord people," chapter 8 verse 6 says, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Verse 7 says, "For the unclean spirits cry aloud with a voice, with a loud voice, came out of many of them which were possessed with them, and many take with palsy that were lame and were healed." The book of Acts chapter 10, it says, that's where Cornelius was filled, him in his house. It says, "Which Peter, yes, spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them and heard the word." The chapter 16, saved. It says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing God with all his house. I'm going to tell you, that's what it's going to take. And we want to see what I want to see all that I just read. I want to see that and greater than I just read to you. I want to see what they see in the book of Acts. But we're just going to take getting to where they are. And that's what I'm going to preach to you for a little while. Then I'm going to bring it to us. That's what we need to be. I'm going to talk to you about how they turn the world upside down. Then I'm going to preach to you about us turning the world upside down. I'm going to tell you, we must turn this world upside down. And this last thing, we need a revival. There's many souls that's dying on their way to hell. Souls I know. I'll text one today and invite him to come. He ain't here, but I do know that I believe he can be saved. I want to tell you, I want to see him saved. The first thing that they did, that we're going to have to do, these men lived holy lives and set apart from this world. They lived a holy life. There was nothing of this world in them. I just had nothing. Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, says, be defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world and are offscouring out of all things unto this day. I was reading in the book, Royal Revival Tears, by Leonard Ravenhill. He said, if any man who says himself filth of the earth has no ambition and so has nothing to be jealous about, he has no reputation and has nothing to fight about, he has no possessions, therefore has nothing to worry about, he has rights and therefore cannot suffer any wrongs, he is already dead, so he cannot kill him. In such a state of mind and spirit, can we wonder that the apostles turned the world upside down? Let the ambitions, the ambitious saint, ponder this apostolic attitude to the world. Let the popular, unscarred evangelist, let the Hollywood style think of these ways. I want to tell you, that's how we're going to see revival if we live a holy life. We're set apart from this world. These apostles, I've been reading the book of Acts, I told you. I've never read in a book of Acts where they act like this world, where they talk like this world, where they did everything that this world does. I've never read in a Bible where they watch American Idol. I've never read in a Bible where they listen to worldly music. I've never read in a Bible where they lost their temper. I want to tell you, they wasn't living a holy life. And so they seen revival for it. I've been reading that book and I just finished it. But that he has a brother Leonard Ravenhill, a man of God, has a chapter in that book called Known in Hell. I want to tell you, these men were known in hell because of that. And they seen revival because of that. Amen. They was the filth of this world. They swirled, thought they was no good for nothing. I want to tell you, we're popular in this world now. But the filth talked about it. We've arrived now. The Pentecostal church is it now. Everybody wants to be a part of it. I want to tell you, one time we was the filth of this earth. Nobody wanted a part of us except that which wanted to be serious about God. We must be. They was considered a filth. They was considered too earthly minded, too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I want to tell you, that's no insult to me to be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I want to tell you, what a compliment a person can have to be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I want to be considered this filth of this earth. I want to tell you, it's going to come by holiness. I want to be holy. If we're not holy, we will never see this revival. If we live like the rest of this world, as Leonard Ravenhill said in that quote, in a Hollywood style, which my dad preached so well on Sunday morning about this gospel according to Hollywood. But I want to tell you, we're not going to get anything anywhere living like this world. I'm going to tell you, we must live holy. Now, there's too many in the church. church. It has one foot outside of the world and one foot inside. I went to the gas station this morning, and a man, I walked in there and said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm blessed." Even on a cussword day, I want to tell you, he said, "I'm blessed." That man is not blessed. Only them that live holy are blessed. It is only them that's going to live holy will be blessed by God. Amen. And he's going to move for. He's not going to move for them that acts like this world, but only them that live holy. These men had a greater love for Christ than anything else. They didn't love anything else but Christ. John Wesley said, "Give me my 10 men that hate nothing but the devil and love nothing but God, and I will change this world." I want to tell you, these men love nothing more than they love Christ. Their money wasn't more important. Their popularity, it wasn't important. Their jobs, it wasn't important. Only Christ. Amen. They love Christ more than they loved anything else. All these men were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were, every one of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to see revival. We must be filled with this Holy Ghost. It is a necessity. It was a commandment and a word of God to go to Jerusalem and tarry till that you be indeed endued with power from on high. It still is a necessity. It still is a commandment. It is saying, oh, if you are the 120, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you go to Jerusalem. He said, you go to Jerusalem and be filled. He said, be not drunk with wine, that is in a sense, but be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't sound like it was asking you, but it was a commandment. We must be filled with this Holy Ghost. They were all filled with this Holy Ghost. Every one of them in this Bible, every one of them that preached, every one of them in this book of Acts, I've been listening. They all got filled with this Holy Ghost. Don't give up on being filled with this Holy Ghost. Seek like you've never seen it before. You must have this Holy Ghost. I love to ask our old brother Sweeney, you had to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. He said, do I have to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? I wouldn't want to walk across the street to the store without being filled with this Holy Ghost. But not only baptized with this Holy Ghost, but be a refilling, a constant filling of this Holy Ghost. We must be full. These men gave their time freely. Now we have no time for God. We ain't got no time for Him to do nothing. But they gave Him their time freely. Say, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to go to church. I got too many things going. My life is too busy trying to feed my own carnal flesh. That's what they say. And my life is just too busy. But they gave Him their time freely. They gave their time to prayer and fasting. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, howbeit, these time goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. That's the only way we're going to see. We're on the only way that we're going to turn this world upside down. It's through prayer and fasting. We're going to have to push our plate back. And as you can tell, probably not many of us in here like to push our plate back. I don't like to push my plate back. You can tell by looking at me. But I want to tell you, that's how it's going to be. I want to tell you, and that's what they did. They went on fast. 10-day fast. 21-day fast. I love Brother Daniel. I've heard of him. And Brother Philip going many times on a 21-day fast. That's why they're such powerful men. I love, that's what it's going to take to turn this world upside down. These men you read in the book of Acts, all these men doing, their life was prayer. Their life was in the book dealing, down at the altar and praying. That was what their life was. They didn't worry about making money, but they didn't worry about all the things. But they gave their time to prayer. Not to say that you don't have to, you don't need to work. The Bible says if a man don't supply for his family, he's worse than an infidel. But I want to tell you, we must give time to prayer and fasting. Don't give up on that. But they gave their time to the Word of God. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It's going to take me into that Word of God.
Yes, it is.
These men wanted nothing else but to be in God's will. They wanted nothing but to be in God's will. Everything that they've done, they wanted to make sure they was in the will of God. They said, I want to be that willing vessel. I'll be that one that bees in His will. I'll be that one that does for Him. And they did. They was in God's will. That's why they sing what they sing. They were all anointed. They did not just preach, just to preach, but they had an anointing on them. They had this anointing. They prayed for them. The Holy Ghost. They preached and people shook. They preached and people turned. I want to tell you, I want to be there when I preach. The people shake. They say Jonathan Edwards, when he preached in a great awakening, they stuck their fingernails in the back of the pew. They scratched because such of anointing. And then that man, they saw these men in the book of Acts done. They, when they preached, the people knew it. The devils were afraid. I'm the son of Sceva and no anointing. So they went to the man and kind of cast out the devil. He said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? They knew Paul because he had an anointing. These men were bold. They wasn't scared to say nothing. They would tell whatever needed to be told. They would preach whatever needed to be preached. They didn't have fancy programs. They didn't have all these fancy programs, but they preach in boldness. They preach repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They said, turn and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have just said you're going to go to hell if you don't live right. They lived in boldness. They preached with a boldness. They said, I'm going to preach no matter what anybody thinks about me. The preachers, so many times, they worry too much what people think. I don't want to worry what they think. They went, they witnessed, and where did they went? I want to have that boldness. They was willing and did suffer persecution. They was willing to suffer persecution. Now, if where is I now have seen it happen a lot of times, being in the Pentecostal church my whole life, the first trouble come, they hightail it out of here because they didn't know how. No backbone about them. Brother Clinton has said, you don't train a soldier in an ice cream parlor, and you shouldn't train a preacher in a gymnasium. I'm going to tell you, and you want to make somebody strong. Let them suffer persecution. Let them suffer affliction. We will suffer affliction. The Bible says I can't spit it out right now. But we will suffer persecution. We will fight him. And I'm going to tell you, things will come against us. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 33 through verse 38 says, who through faith subdue kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain promises, and stop the mouth of lions, quench the violent fires of the escape, the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, wax violent, in the fight, turn the two, fight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead, they were raised unto life again, and others were troubled, and it's not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And the others had trials of cruel mockings and scornings, yea, moreover, abounds and imprisonment. And they were stoned. They were sown asunder. They were tempted, were slain, and with a sword. And they wondered about his sheepskins and goatskins. But being desolate, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in the desert and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They have suffered many things for Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want to tell you, you want to see revival, learn to suffer persecution. Learn to stand in the midst of the trial. We want to see revival. That's what we're going to have to do. The last thing that they done, that these men were willing and did forsake everything. They forsook everything. They left everything behind. They left their land behind. He said, they told that rich young ruler what my dad talked about. Sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Give up everything for me. Give up everything. You're not going to see revival with the filth of this world in you. You're not going to see revival. Lay away with everything in your life. You're not going to see revival smoking no cigarettes. You're not going to see revival hanging on to that country music. You're not going to see revival if you're just
forsake everything.
Give it up. Say whatever it takes.
I want to be in your will.
They were willing, and not only willing, but did forsake everything. Many of them, as I've told you, about persecution. They forsook everything, and they did it, paid for it with their lives. Many of them died. They threw a bomb. Some of them was bald. As I said, some of them was sawed asunder. Some of them was trying to hands were cut off. Apostle Paul, he was cut off, but he did it gladly. For this or for God. I want to tell you, they suffered everything. They gave up everything. We can't give anybody to give up anything now. They said, if I have to work for it, if I have to be without any air condition, if I have to go without one meal, I don't want nothing to do with it. If I have to go without my designer clothes, if I have to go without anything, I don't want no part of it. That's too hard. It's too hard to start a church. It's too hard to go on a mission field. It's too hard to do this thing for God. But I want to tell you, these men did it, and they saw results. And now I'm going to talk to you about the last part of this message on where are those that turned the world upside down. Where are them? You don't see them like you used to. Even 20, 30 years ago, you see them more. They don't have been no come like Brother Philip Hogan, Brother Daniel Sweeney, Brother B.H. Clinton. We have a bunch of sissies in the church now that won't make all the hard choices that do it. But we must be of that church that turned the world upside down. Men don't come like Apostle Paul did. Men don't come like they did. It's not because God's not calling them. God's not wanting to do this in them. And Brother Clinton has said the day of Pentecost was no extraordinary day. It was meant to be normal action of the church operating in the Holy Spirit. The church was meant to function in the realm at all times. And Brother Ravenhill said in his book that John Wesley, Smith Wigglesworth, all these great men of God was no extraordinary men. They was nothing more than anybody else. He said, if I read the book of Acts right, that was the normal. Well, that is the normal. That is to be the normal. What they seen in the book of Acts, they seen 3,000 saved in one time. That is to be normal. I'm going to tell you, a Pentecostal experience is to be normal. A Pentecost coming down like it did in the Abraham is to be normal. But now it's a strange thing to see that. Now we're very fortunate in this church. You better count yourself blessed in this church, because you won't find it everywhere else like in this church. There's not many of them out there. I want to tell you, there is a remnant of them, but there's not many of them like us in our church. But I still know that we can be greater. I want to tell you, we have not seen what they've seen in the book of Acts. We have not seen those 3,000 people saved at one time. You can go months without seeing somebody come to that altar. Oh, you can send people and go years without seeing anybody ever come to that altar. I'm not satisfied with that. I want to see somebody saved. I want to see the Holy Ghost flow. I want to see this church also on fire for God. People can't pass by here. And when Brother Terry was passing by here, the Holy Ghost slapped that beer out of his lap and said, that's where you need to be. I want to see that more often. That's too occasional of a thing. It doesn't happen enough. We must see revival. I want to see revival. Let's don't give up on revival. Don't give up until you do it. They say they prayed in the upper room 10 days before they did it. That's might be what it takes now. But we can't carry in the altar's 10 minutes. Let's get in this altar and see God until we turn this world upside down. Let's turn this world upside down. Let's turn Polk County upside down for Him. Let's reach the lost. Yes. That they'll be saved. I don't want to be where we're at now. I'm not satisfied with the status quo of the church. Where we're at, it's not what God meant. But He meant for us to be a powerful church as they was. He said, after the Holy Ghost, and after that, the Holy Ghost will come on you. You shall receive power. After that, then the Holy Ghost will come on you and be witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He won't wants us to have that power. We can't have that power. We can't have the power that tried to pick up serpents, that tried to tread on serpents, to pick up any deadly thing, to drink any deadly thing. Don't mean you should go drink poison, but I want to tell you, we can't have the power to lay hands on the sick and they recover. I've seen the dead raised, but I want to tell you, it's been too long since I've seen the dead raised. It's been too long. This sister Susie was healed of cancer. We must see these things more. But more than that, we need to see souls saved. I want to tell you, I have a brother. I have a cousin. And his dad and brother's here. And sister. I want to tell you that I love dearly. That's on his way to hell. I want to see him saved. I want to see him saved. I want to tell you. But we must get to where we are. We need to be with God. We need to get to that place that they was in the upper room. They get everything. They do anything. The spirits are outpoured of this Holy Ghost. Let's get to that place. Don't leave this place without feeling the spirit of Pentecost. We must feel Pentecost. I am a Pentecostal. I make no apologies for that. I believe once you feel the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues. I want to be filled with this Holy Ghost. I want everybody to do it. I see on Aquila. They said I want to go. They went and showed this gospel more perfectly. I want the Baptist to get to where I am. I want the Baptist to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not satisfied with only that person that's out there on drugs. I want to see somebody saved. Not that I don't want to see that drug addict stay. Me and my dad was talking about this message here a while back. And he told me, and he gave me a good point on it. I'll say that he gave to me. But he said, everything that's turned upside down. What was on top is now on bottom. And what was on bottom is now on top. I want to tell you, he can bring them from the bottom and turn them around. He can take that drug addict that was once a drug addict and turn them into a man of God. He can take that prostitute that was once out there selling her body on the streets and turn them into a godly woman. He can make them do that. He can turn them into the greatest parable here. I'm Sister Susie. What a wicked life she lived before she got saved. A drug hang, a prostitute. They lived like the devil. But I want to tell you, I'm one of the greatest women of God that I've ever met, because the Lord turned her upside down for her own time. The people that think they're on time, they think they have everything. The Donald Trumps, the Bill Gates, they're going to have to go to the bottom where they think they're on top now. They're going to have to be put onto the bottom. I want to tell you, the Bible said in our weakness, He is made strong. I want to tell you, we're going to have to go to the bottom. They say you have to get somebody who's lost before you can get them saved. That's what it is in America. You've got to get them lost before you can get them saved. You've got to turn them upside down. Get them back to the bottom before you can get them saved. Stand to your feet around this church. You want to be that church that turns the world upside down. I want to see this Pentecostal lighthouse turn this world upside down. I want to see Pentecostal lighthouse where they was in that book of Acts. Come around this front. Raise your hands and pray that we be that church. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, get filled. If you're not living right, you can't be living right before you leave this place. Whatever you need from God, say, I'll give up everything. I'll forsake it all. I'll do whatever it takes to get God to do this.